The text before us that I have chosen is the epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 3. Mind you, these are practically the very last words that the Apostle Paul wrote because he was about to be put to death in Rome for teaching Christianity. He wrote, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm in the Lord." Here ends the reading of our Lord's word. In the name of Jesus, our beautiful Savior, who hung on the cross and paid for all of our sins, my dear fellow Christian friends, after reading these three lessons and seeing how each of the lessons taught someone dying for Christ, believing in Christianity, I thought of this Bible passage that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. "All people who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Isn't that an amazing statement? All people will be persecuted. Well, if you pick up the lessons and you look at the first lesson, the Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah, there we see that God's prophet giving the people God's word, and this is what they thought of him in verse 11. "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city." Now pick up the gospel lesson. The very first verse of the Holy Gospel, where we read about Herod, who wants to kill Jesus. Can you imagine? Here is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and because of who he is, King Herod wants to kill him. Well, now we go to our chosen lesson from Philippians. As I told you before, these are practically the last words that St. Paul ever wrote, awaiting his death in Rome. Why? Well, simply because of his preaching the good news of Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. But look with me particularly at verse 18 of that lesson, where he says that there are many in the world who walk as enemies of the cross. And then Paul answers, why? Because their God is their belly, and their minds are set on earthly things. And then finally in the verse, chapter 4, the first verse, he concludes and says, "Therefore, my brothers, stand firm in the Lord." Yes, indeed, dear Christian, Paul says, stand up for Jesus. Well, how are things for us people here in America today? Isn't it nice that we live in a Christian country where our faith, our religion is well accepted and respected by all? Right. You people know better than I do about that. As a matter of fact, when you compare the way it was back in the day when our country began. So take your minds back to the 1700s, 1770s. And you will see there that the teachings of our religion were much better received then than they are today. For example, in 1776, the first two colonies of our country began to establish themselves as states, and they were writing their constitutions. Maryland was the first state to do so. And this is how they begin the preamble to their constitution. We, the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God. And then it goes on. The next state were the Pennsylvanians, who began their constitution by saying these religious words. We, the people of Pennsylvania, grateful to Almighty God for all the blessings of civil and religious liberty, and who are humbly able to invoke his guidance. Yes, even though the colonies of our country's beginning had such different backgrounds, the people came from Europe and all across the world with different heritages and histories, and yet there was such a common belief that there was a creator, the Almighty God, and our dependence was upon him. Oh, I'm not saying that everybody in 1776 was a Christian. No, they were not. But the Constitution of all the states surely reveals that the majority in those days at least agreed that they just not come about or create themselves, and that the blessing of the Almighty God was necessary to be successful. Well, it's quite clear today that our country's attitude towards God and religion has changed. Yes, greatly changed from the way it was just a few years ago. For example, I don't remember the exact year, but just a few years ago, a lawyer representing his daughter stood before the Supreme Court of our land and demanded that certain words of the Pledge of Allegiance be omitted. Yes, he said, that phrase, one nation under God, is offensive to most Americans. Well, how did the case turn out? Well, in the end, the wisest judges of our land simply threw the lawyer's case out of court. How did they do that? Well, you see, the justices were able to completely avoid the religious issue by declaring that they couldn't be sure that this daughter was that this lawyer was the legal guardian of his daughter. Of course, after such a political game as that, if you listen real carefully now, you can hear the devil laughing like crazy because he was so successful in making those judges walk, as St. Paul says here, walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. Why? Because their God is their belly and their mind is on earthly things. Sad to say, however, those judges aren't the only ones who keep the devil laughing. Only a short time ago, just a few years ago, America dedicated a long overdue monument to all the men and women who fought in World War II. They created this monument in Washington, D.C. And on that monument was etched in the stone the words that President Roosevelt spoke on December 7th, 1941. Some of you might even remember those words. Here's what he said at the beginning of the speech. December 7th, 1941, a date which shall live in infamy. However, we as American people in our righteous might will win to absolute victory. Oh, his speech that day was so encouraging to that dark time in our country. The people who heard those words of Roosevelt, like my father and mother, were so moved. However, the sad story is this about that monument. You see, though not all the words that President Roosevelt spoke that day were etched in stone, they were omitted because of religious purposes. You see, Roosevelt concluded his famous speech by saying, "Our country will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God." Those words, "so help us God," were omitted from that monument. Once again, you can just hear the devil laughing. As St. Paul says, because so many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh yes, my friends, you and I need to hear St. Paul today, very loud and very clear. From his prison cell in Rome, awaiting his death, he wrote to his close friends in that Philippian congregation he started, and so fervently, he says, "And now with tears, I'm telling you, there are many who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, with their minds set on earthly things, and their God is their belly." What a true statement. What a true analysis of the world in which we live. Let's be sure to remember how firmly, how courageously this apostle stood up for Jesus. During his life, he had been beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, starved, stoned, and left dead, all because of his preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. But even after all that, never did he ask God to get his vengeance upon those Roman big shots who wanted to stamp out Christianity. Never did Paul hate his enemies, but instead with tears, he prayed for them. In closing today, I want you to see how all three of these lessons from the Word of God tell us that as Christians today, like those of the past, hundreds of years ago, must also confront many who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Once again, it is our turn to stand up for Jesus and say, "Thus says the Lord." Let's remember, Herod's threat to kill Jesus did not deter our Savior from going to the cross to pay for your sins and mine and give us the gift of everlasting life in heaven. So like St. Paul says in those last words of our text, "Therefore, let us stand firm in the Lord." And that's exactly what we all shall do. Stand up for Jesus. Thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.